nerd soul.
Yeah, yeah, I'm absolutely ready. Wildfire was just asking me to ask Jason where Paragon is, but that's
oh man,
oh snap. Yo, look,
Paragon right, laying down, man. He's tired from watching all that Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. We got some cats at the front door. Let's go in and let them all in. Let's see. We're going to let them all in. Let's see. Let's see who we got. Yeah. All right, we got
it's like a player's ball. Okay,
all right, cool.
We got some folks.
Oh, it's she folks in here.
Hey, a lot of people. There they are.
Hey guys.
Corner right there.
Oh, right. Dedrin in the house.
This is a great right. First vibe. Let me pull down to my home. Yeah,
let's do this business. All right, right
word,
now.
Word. See, we got Victor. We got Gamma Ray in the house. Word, word. Yeah. And Victor Davis.
I like this shirt, Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal got a nice. Oh, I see that. He got a nice little shirt.
I would appreciate that. This is fresh from the store on operative.net.
Exactly.
I do go
player. So, guys, right. We are joined by, if you look at the square beneath Quinn, we have Sebastian Jones, Takiya Marie, Hannibal Taboo, Dedrin Snee, Gamma Ray Cosplay, and Victor Dandridge down at the bottom left or right square. guys, first, of course, thank you for coming and chilling and hanging out with us and all that good stuff. Thank you. We're talking about being independent. I guess I'll set it off, and I'll throw this out to anyone who wants to attack it first. As an indie creator, what do you need most from your supporters?
Money.
Hannibal hitting with that truth right off the bat.
Yeah.
if I could take a more kind of highbrow approach, I mean, he's not wrong about the money. But I think the thing that we need first and foremost is more eyes. We need more people to see what we're doing and transversely talking about what we're doing. You know, I think all of us have put out some of the best work that we are capable of doing. And in no way, shape or form have we really ever had anybody come back and be like, nah, that's whack. So we need more people to experience what we do and then share their experience and their enjoyment of that experience with others.
I totally agree with that.
I totally agree with that.
If you see how many people have, you know, the big companies living rent-free in their heads, and you don't see them talking about, yo, no, for real, though, who can win a Paragon or like Niobe? What's the deal there? So if that's not the conversation that's happening, they're really like, what are you putting forth? Are you letting people live rent-free in your head that don't want to be down with you?
Exactly. Yo, I think that's a very real thing. We don't put ourselves against each other in that way, do we? Like, we should be having that conversation of who can win between Hotshot and Wildfire. We need to see that conversation. We need to have people, you know, vie for their fandoms like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. Hey, let him preach. Let him preach himself. That's important.
So with that being said, over to Sebastian. What have you noticed differently from your supporters, say, to 2 to 4 years ago as opposed to now? And have the needs from those supporters changed?
I mean, obviously, you know, we are on a hustle a lot. We work really, really hard at, I think sometimes there's this mystical formula that we as indie creators try and, you know, search for. And so much of it comes down to how much time you're kind of willing to sacrifice, or more importantly, how much time are you willing to allow your family to sacrifice to not spend time with you? And I think those are the kind of the hardest realities to kind of face. When everyone asks me what's the hardest thing, it's that. And I think for us, you know, our attrition, you know, no one really kind of knows, you know, what goes on behind the scenes with any of us, you know, friends, family, crisis, depression, anxiety, you know, all those types of things. So I think for us, the last 2 to 4 years compared to where, obviously when we started out, is our visibility has grown, you know, obviously in a kind of a dramatic way. And, you know, it's everyone has their own journeys to do this thing. So for me, what I've seen is kind of extremes now, I think. So I think a lot of times as indie creators, when they seem to fall into like two pots in some respects. One pot is extremely supportive, like honestly supportive, truthfully supportive, authentically supportive. And the other pot can be envy. And you can kind of always kind of read between the lines a little bit. Yeah. In the other pot, it's like, hey, good job, you know. You know, but you kind of know. And then a lot of times too, when there's that envy that comes around, they don't know what, you know, everyone's individual life has been like. Then there's too much time spent in this vacuum of discussion about the same thing, and then we are all like this. So for me, it's kind of been an interesting journey in other creators going like, I'm like, I always know who is going to support.
Right.
I'm also on the DL. I support everybody. Everyone's Kickstarter. Anyone comes to me, they're like, can you do an update to your backers? Kickstarter, done. Do you need an intro to a printer or this or that? For sure. You know, do you need, you know, always the support. Actually, it's funny, when everyone's doing the indie comic support, I was really wanted to do it, but all my comics were in like locked away and I couldn't get to them. I was like, oh, but there are stacks. And a lot of times I actually forget to fill out the survey, because I think when it comes down to this, and I know I'm rambling a bit, but it's when we as creators support other creators, we're not necessarily caring about the product more so than the person. To me, it's if any, like Quinn has a Kickstarter, I don't care if he's doing a comic, honestly, about a car battery. I will support him.
Right. It's your next book, bro.
I want to piggyback off of that to the next question, but I did want to touch on one thing that Sebastian said earlier, the work part of it, right? Like when the question around growth over the past few years, and this is something I've actually talked to Sebastian about. We often talk about, like, when it comes to that sacrifice, there's a willingness quotient to push beyond, right? Like a lot of us, and because of what Sebastian was saying in terms of that kind of ubiquitous support among those of us that know what kind of work goes into it, right? Those of us that put that kind of work in, we love, and then we love on those who do it. So that kind of goes without saying. But the other slice of that is the willingness to upgrade, pick up your craft, stuff like that. So I always mess with Sebastian about, like, you know, eyeing his hustle. But when I talk about respecting him, it comes from having watched him over the years not only be a great salesman, but pick up, evolve, and make the kind of moves. He didn't just wander into HBO studio, right? None of us just wandered into the spaces that we occupy. So I just wanted to touch on that, because like a lot of the people in these squares, and a lot of the people that are going to be on tonight, people that in the world I've talked to, because I have great respect for them. And I just, like, when I hear those moments, that's the reason why I had a kind of respect for this community that I have. But moving on to the next question, because I don't want to get, like, we had a party, so we're trying to have fun. and right now we're trying to get info. So, like, I want to move to the next question, and I want to just throw this out to everybody. What platform do you feel has been best for your product and your message? So what I'm saying, I guess, is, as we're here, and again, in the service of that community vibe, like, we want to be clear that we're trying to help this community grow. And these people here have experience, have gotten opportunities, and most importantly, you know, hit walls and failed in a lot of ways. So I just want to reiterate that we're not just throwing these questions out just to be throwing them. We're putting them out so that other people can get out and tell their story. So let me get back to the question and repeat it. As you guys have been on your journey, what platform do you feel like has been best for your journey, been best for you and your product, and been best for your message?
Can I jump into that one real quick, and then I'll.
By all means.
I know I yapped a lot last, but
yeah, go.
It is the straight hustle of being in person. I think if you're in person and you are directly connecting to your consumer that you don't even think about them as a consumer. You think about you're on the other side, right? When you come into a convention, you come to a place, you come to online, and you're like, why is their $4 gonna, what are they gonna spend with me when they're already like, I'm gonna come to get Spider-Man? So for me, it's about giving them as much of this moment. If I've got like, if I meet 1,000 people at a con or online or whatever, I'm gonna give them the most raw, honest person that I can be. And then that becomes very, you make a soul connection. So it's not like, oh, I'm just trying to sell my shit and then move on. Because then all of a sudden, then your customers become like, our customers are not, again, you feel like a family member then with that specific customer. You know, and I'll say this and then I'll jump back and kiss myself, but okay. So Viola Davis, right? She gave the forward in one of our books, which was a huge honor. And that's a really funny hustle of how I managed to get that, but another story. But she posted that on Instagram, a picture of Amanda Stenberg, one of our writers, actress, with four really cool. It was a great image. She had over 55,000 likes on Instagram. And I'll ask you guys the question, guess how many direct consumer sales, because she posted the link to our Instagram to where to buy the comic. So I'm just going to throw it out to you guys. Guess how many of 55,000 likes. So Hannah, what, you got 10?
Okay. I say right around 25.
Okay.
I'm saying less than 2%. I'm going to give a percentage on it.
Okay. God, thanks.
That way I'm not wrong. But you know, y'all figure that out. Y'all
up there drinking. Don't be having us do math.
Listen, that's why I did that. See, I said something, but I didn't say nothing. You see how I did that?
I'm with that. I think like 5%.
Oh God.
So guys, 10% would be 550.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 5% would be 275. Mm-hmm. 1% is what, 550? So 2% is like 1,010, I guess. Somewhere like that. Okay. Anyone else? Like,
I'm thinking about the same thing in a, like I said, in about a 1%. You know, a smaller ROI than I think we'd be led to believe.
Okay.
I'm going to be positive and say 100%. 100%.
Yo, put that out there. Put that energy out there. That's right. We need that.
Everybody picked it up.
So, yes.
Okay. It's party time. So the closest is Hannibal.
10 people.
And wow. The reality is.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
When we get now in indirect, and this comes back to the hustle of reality. Mm-hmm. In indirect sales, I'm at a con and folks come up and they go, wait a minute, I think I saw that on Viola's Instagram page.
True.
What is this?
True.
Right.
So, if you
so it kind of opens the door, I guess.
Yes. Right. The problem I find a lot of times, and I'm not shy, so I'm okay in person. And a lot of folks have a struggle with that, making that next step to connect and so on. And if you can't, then you make sure you find a champion or a partner or someone. Understand your strengths and weaknesses. So when you're with, if you're at a booth, you're online or whatever, if you are not somebody that's good at the gift of the gab, have somebody with you, a salesperson, right? Whatever you know your strengths and weaknesses are. But so the indirect impact is huge, but you folks a lot of times rely solely on, I did a post, because they're getting their immediate fix of validation in a singular myopic perspective way. Like, oh, so-and-so liked my thing and they commented it. When Amandla did her last post for our sequel to the comic, Niobe She Is Death, she had 34,000. She was one of the, you know, collaborators. It was the same thing. Zero direct sales from that. Again, someone coming to the booth or someone maybe like, you know what, let me go back and let me check it out online. Certain things that you can't necessarily justify or rectify, I should say, or validate.
Right
there and then on the spot. So it comes back to the hustle of you need to connect directly with your consumer across a multiple of platforms. You cannot rely solely on one platform, which is social media, because this is just this. Fricking through with my thumb, I'm on Snapchat, are my eyebrows this, am I laid, am I da la 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 la, you know. So you need to like take that shit really serious.
No, so there's no magic bullet. Hit all of the spots. Anybody else experiencing a particular bump somewhere?
I was gonna back up on what Sebastian was saying, because in traditional business schools of marketing, they talk about touch points. How many times do you have to come into contact with a person before they become a customer? Hmm. And for me, because Sebastian and I have known each other for literally decades, and I've seen him doing this hand-to-hand sales thing. He's a murderer. He's amazing. But he has the dark gift is different for us all, and I don't share that one. So for me, the appeal has been different. When I do panels and when I've done journalism, that's when my greatest strength has happened. I was on a panel at WonderCon where a guy saw me and hired me to do 22 comics for him at a rate, at a decent page rate. And those comics are still coming out from Wonderman Comics, which Time Core number 15, I think, is going to be out in a couple weeks. This has been a very super helpful relationship with me that had nothing to do with hand to hand. I had to be on a stage and I had to be charming. I had to be charismatic and I had to do it because I've got about an hour worth of being normal. And then I kind of start freaking out and it's hard to deal with. So Jason knows that by hard experience. Each one of us had to find our own methodology and understand what specifically was going to work for us. And for me, because I come from a communications and marketing standpoint professionally, that more removed approach has been where most of my success has been. I have a different set of skills than Sebastian. Sebastian has a different set of skills than Quinn and so on and so forth. So each one of us has to find what is our niche. But in terms of audience response, I've seen the most immediate visceral feedback, the thing that Sebastian was talking about, on Facebook, which is ironic because everybody thinks it's for olds now. But that's where most people
are. That's the trick they try to tell you, brother.
I'm interested in how it does. Any of that translate into the cosplay world? I'm interested to hear from Gamma on it.
Yeah, definitely. Like Sebastian was saying, you can't solely depend on one social media platform. You need to utilize all of them. But mainly for me, what I found that has been incredibly beneficial and just more enjoyable is I'm a huge extrovert, so this whole quarantine thing is me crazy. Like, I'm a huge social butterfly. You know, I love hanging out with my friends. I love meeting new people. So going to the con, that's my thing. Like, I always try to add a new con each year. I go to like 5 minimum. I'm trying to like build that up each year. But yeah, that's where I found that I have met, you know, the majority of, you know, people who I've interacted with on Instagram, social, you know, Facebook, where they've been like, oh, wait, I remember when you did that cosplay, and I've even recognized people. And it's just like, it's so dope when you like, when cosplayers meet up in real life. So that's too much fun and exciting. But yeah, like, you know, I've linked up, that's how I was able to link up with, you know, cosplayers like Ninja Yo-Yo, CC the Geek, and just like so many more dope cosplayers. And like, we've done cosplay collaborations. They've been supportive. Like, and that's the one thing I know that has come from, like, you know, more visible and going out to cons, is I made a lot of great connections and had made a lot of great relationships. You know, I've met some photographers, I've met dope artists, and I feel like it's all about building that relationship. So if there's some dope artwork, whether I've seen it on Instagram or I've seen it at like a con, and I'm like, oh, I love how they, you know, made that like take on that character, especially if it's got a little black girl magic to it, you know, I like to try to cosplay as that, because as I am now, I am in a original fan art cosplay for, you know, this character, and I thought it was dope. It's And I feel like by doing that, it's almost like a joint indirect collaboration and building that relationship. Like, I love what you're doing. I love your work. This is how I want to show and support it. I hope I do it justice. And then like, if they share it and like it and then, you know, put you out there, I think that just helps build up both parties. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, even, you know, having each other as guests on podcasts or, you know, I've done several panels for a lot of the cons I've attended. I try to get, you know, different individuals I've met throughout my, you know, geek, you know, culture journey. And I've had them on my cons and I've met individuals who have attended my panels. And it's just about showing a different side that like we come in all different backgrounds, shape, size, form. Like a lot of people, when I tell them that I'm a lawyer by day, they think I'm just, they don't believe me. I'm like, yeah, I have very serious, you know, government day job. But like mm-hmm. outside of that, like this is who I am. I don't, you know, I don't feel the need to hide that anymore. Like there are other geeky Black girls like me who love cosplaying, who love video games and superheroes and like, you know, anime shows and all that. So just kind of encouraging that aspect of it to help bring other people out and then just building those relationships. I mean, I think that's where I've got the biggest, I guess I'd say the biggest like support from
everything. So you can't beat like face to face, you know, interaction, I guess is the consensus. Like as great as social media is and as visual as it is, making a connection with somebody person to person is probably is the better networking tool, but also probably the more lucrative for your products or for your business.
Definitely.
Is that true even for you guys that have had successful Kickstarters?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Takiya, I actually wanted you to jump off on a comment from the chat if you could. For Takiya, Misadventures in 3D Printing says, as a person who has had 9K followers on Facebook, over 1,000 on IG, 8,000 on Twitter, most people just look. And of course, you're in a very visual medium. With your followers, is it just looking? Is there a conversation there? Is there any, you know, request for personalized work or, you know, pre-produced work that you've done before? You know, how does that follower kind of like, I guess, turnover rate work for you?
Well, I do think I see some turnover rate from having followers. But I think it mostly comes from, are people impacted by the work? You know, if I post something and somebody really likes it, they'll usually reach out to me for something. And I find that as great as social media is, there are a lot of different platforms, especially now when people are inside and dealing with COVID and everything else. As much as we want to be in person, we can't right now. And so you have to be able to talk to people other ways too. And one of the ways that I find is that I just communicate through my art. And if people see it and they like it, they will usually reach out to me about something. You know, having your website ready to go. Like I actually took my website down to redo it. And it was down for a while, but what I did was I created a portfolio of PDF in such a way that I would, if I were pitching someone, and I got a lot of contact about that. Like I recently got contacted by an agency in Boston and their sister agency in New York to do a motion comic for them for an educational platform. So, you know, I think, and I'm not going against what everyone is saying, because I definitely think in-person contact is great. But right now, I think you also kind of have to find another clever way to communicate with people. And sometimes that's in what you say and in the work that you put out there. And that's what draws people in, and that's what makes them want to work with you.
Yep. Word. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I'm looking at Dedrick. I'm looking at Sebastian. I'm looking at guys that I personally look up to in terms of their ability to get their content out in the world and really establish themselves through their brand, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, without going too deep into it, people who know my story know that by and large, I'm a crazy person who just kind of made a decision to tell stories one day and ran out into the streets. But with that being said, people like Hannibal pulled me to the side. He had a wonderful white jacket that he gave me, and the sleeves are very long. But he gave me that jacket, and he sat me down, and he talked to me about the importance of strategizing, right? And then I would watch people like Sebastian, or I watch especially like I can remember how certain stories burst onto the scene, and it's like, oh, that thing operates like it's always been there. Samaritan from Dandridge, like it was like, oh, that's a book. It's in the world. Oh, okay, yeah, that should be there, right? When you look at Kid Carver's, like, that's like, oh, okay, that's the kind of content that exists in the world. It should be there. So I guess my question is, because we're all kind of operating at varying degrees of small, with your approaches, did you find, both starting out and now, that strategic and laying out a plan was good to go, as my wife is always yelling at me about, or kind of just going loose and saying, hey, this is what my heart wants and I want to tell my story and do my thing? Which strategy works best for you and maybe a little bit of why? Anybody?
Dedrick? I would say, first off, I think you're giving yourself not enough credit. You're too brilliant to say you just ran out into the street, man. Right. Absolutely. You're well beyond, and you honor me in even saying something like that. But I think at least for me, what's worked is basically got to have a shoe on each side of that street, right? You know, we're in the passion business, right? You know, I think people see that authenticity. I think Sebastian spoke to that. You know, when you're in a interpersonal relationship, you know, it's a difference between selling you something and being in the moment and making that type of connection. I think part of that works in social media. But I think if you delineate like a career going down the road, most people if you only connect socially, like we say, there's diminishing returns on that. But having that type of relationship where sometimes you just got to walk, you do have to just walk into a convention or into a location and have to make something happen, right? Especially for people that do this as their day job, right? You know, I wasn't in this space a couple of years ago, but I can say, you know, I've, you know, paid my rent with comic books before. That was not the strategy. I didn't have anything directly laid out to get to this space. But I think it was the idea of, yeah, my plan is to have no plan until needed otherwise. And it's been good, at least for me, that way. But I think for most creatives, there is like that internal satisfaction you have to have. Some people are planners. You got to be meticulous, and you need, you know, obviously you want a business plan and a business strategy. But I think the idea of this is to get your message out, right? You know, if you think, you know, for, you know, what's going on in the world right now, you know, I don't think a lot of these people are showing up outside these police departments with like a strategized plan. They need to get out there. They need to say what they need to say right now. They need to be heard. And a lot of times we're like that. We just need to get out and be heard. But you can see fantastic things happen by just being in the space and being in that same presence of mind. So I think that's just been what's worked for me so far. That's if saying that even works. You know, this is still a work in process. So, you know, the thing is, you know, I try not to get myself too down or too up about, you know, where I am and maybe in a career standpoint. It's the idea that, you know, I'm just trying to keep enough gas in the tank to get to the next town, right? And then we kind of go forward.
Can I jump on?
Yeah, please.
So I do think there's something to having the no plan, which is like being deliberate even when things don't go the way you expect. And like a perfect example I'll give you is there are times I'll post something on social media, and I'm not the best at social media. I'll tell everybody that right now. But there are things like sometimes that I'll post something and I'm like, oh, this is gonna get so many likes. Nothing. But then I'll post something that I don't even like that much and it kills. And so there's something to learn, I think, in that when you start paying attention to what people like. Like, you know, I'll have people, one of the websites that people always tell me they found me on a lot of the time is women who draw. You know, going to my website and stuff, when they see my work, people will, when they email me for work, they'll say, oh, we really like this piece, and we really like this piece, or we really like this piece. And I started looking at the pieces that were, that people were telling me about the most. And then I started to realize, like, oh, okay, so some people really, depending on what they need, they really like that children's book style I have. And then some people really, really like that comic book style. And when I started focusing on altering my portfolio to focus on those things, right, and paying attention to what people responded to, I started getting a lot more hits. Like, I started getting a lot more emails. You know, like I said, I've gotten a project where, you know, somebody came to me because they liked a comic book style that they saw in my portfolio. They're not in comics. They don't do comics. They do commercials. They do products for, you know, different brands. But they had an idea where they were like, I think that this could work, and we want this comic book style that you have. I was up against 7 other people for that job, and I got it. Because, and I think that that's where having the no plan plan comes in. When something doesn't go the way you think it's gonna go, and then you learn from that. That's not saying that you're deliberately putting something out there and then you're trying to make that thing work. You're listening to what people are telling you about that thing and why it's not working, or why they're gravitating to something else. And I think when you're deliberate about that and you start crafting the way, I guess, your brand is, or the kind of work that you're doing, or the work that you show, I think it can really help you. But again, it depends on what your goals are. You know, if your goal is you're making a comic book and you really, really, really want to tell this story, it might benefit you to pay attention to who's gravitating towards that kind of story, and who even gravitates towards that kind of story outside of what you're doing. Who, you know, pay attention to other stories like yours. Who's gravitating toward, and what platforms are picking those stories up? And so I think that's why I think I agree with Dedrin, to where it's like, you, like he said, you have to kind of have your foot in both lanes, and you just have to respond to what's happening around you.
Yeah, I think the best way to sum that is to go in with a plan of action, but no expectation of the outcome, because you won't know exactly where it's going to go. But as long as you did what you wanted to do, you know, you can't be mad at that. If I want to tell a comic book story and I tell that comic book story, but Hollywood comes knocking and they want to pay me millions of dollars, that was never my plan, but I'm going to cash that check. That's 100% what's going
to happen.
Well, that was the plan.
Don't tell them. I want them to feel like it's brand new every time.
Well, I'll end this panel off real quick with this one, with a fun story from an episode of Beast Vibes Life. We were talking about different, you know, rappers and the endorsements that they've done.
My favorite subject.
And they got on the point of like, you know, food, fried chicken, grape soda, something like that. And I was like, okay. I was like, I eat Popeye's chicken, right? So if Popeye's wants me to do an ad for him, is it selling out if I eat Popeye's chicken? I was like, I eat
this. This is the blackest panel that ever blacked.
And they were like,
and I watched Watchmen so black, so that's pretty black.
And they were like, a little. I was like, as long as I'm not dancing in it.
Commercial.
Yeah, just don't dance with the chicken in your hand.
As long as I'm not dancing.
As long as you're dancing because that's what's in your heart. If you dance because they tell you to, that's selling out. If you dance because that's where your heart is moved, that's different. That's authentic. You got to be you.
The question you're asking, are you a chicken dancer? Are you?
I love that there is an etiquette around the ability for just us to enjoy chicken, because I like it.
Yes, yeah, like, I like
careful
it.
Careful how much you like it, and you like it.
I'm just if it's in your heart where you're like, "Ooh, this chicken slaps today," that's you. That's 100% where you are. You Be that. Be you.
He'll say Project Wildfire has an entire treatise on income equity just around chicken sandwiches.
Like, boom. Boom. That's a whole story.
Be on the lookout when you're reading. It's like, is it with chicken sandwiches? Yes, I am.
So with that said, I guess starting with Hannibal and going down the row, shout out where people can find you, where they can grab your work, read it, you know, enjoy it, all that good stuff. So Hannibal, take it away.
Yes, sir. Every week on Wednesday, you can find Project Wildfire webcomics at operative.net. You can find anything you want to know about me at HannibalTaboo.com. My weekly reviews are available on BleedingCool.com and the iHeartRadio podcast Nerdorama with Mo and Tawala. Likewise, I think, as I mentioned, Time Corps 14 is available digitally right now, and Time Corps 15 will be on digital shelves very soon.
Cool. Takiya?
So you can find my work at takiyamarie.com. For the current moment, I'm not taking on new projects, but I plan to in the fall. So if you have smaller projects that you're looking to get done, a mini comic, you have a children's book project, you have, you know, if you have a business where you need illustrations, where you need help with marketing, things like that, you can always email me. It's takiyamarie.com, and my email is right there on the contact page.
Cool. Sebastian?
You can find all of our comics and kids books at strangercomics.com. And you can also just pop over to any of our social media sites at Stranger Comics. And then also, I'm going to be doing some teaching soon on anything ranging from how to pitch a project to how to create IP to how to sell on Kickstarter. So if you want to, you know, want to know more, hit me up. Send me a direct message. I don't even want to say DMs, but send me a dungeon master, and I'll roll that dice, you know.
All right, Dedrin.
Thank y'all. So yes, you can find my main work, Sorghum and Spear, online at sorghumandspear.com. Also, our podcast for Black creatives, New Wakanda with Tal and Kel, at New Wakanda on most streaming platforms, and just in general. I'm just Dejan Sneed at Facebook, just meandering about. So you can always hit me up there.
Cool. Gamma?
You can find me and hit me up on all social media platforms at Gamma Ray Cosplay. Check out some of my content, my new cosplays. I'll plan to be dropping some more today and this week. And you can also check out the podcast that I co-host, Geeked Up with DJ Young Venom. And yeah, it's Geeked Up on all social media platforms, and you can listen on our platforms too.
Cool. Last but not least, of course, Mr. Dandridge.
So you guys can find me at Vantage In-House, where we have all of our different books that we've put out. If you go to vantageinhouse.com, definitely check out You Create Comics, where we are actually teaching people how to make their own comics. We have products that are geared towards kids, anyone that's doing practical artwork, building all kinds of fun stuff with that. You can listen to me every once in a while on a Hall of Justice podcast, but every week I'm doing comic book reviews with Black, White, and Red all over at my local comic shop. Shout out to Comic Town, and shout out to you guys for having me on. This was a true pleasure.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Jason, Quinn, any last words on this panel?
I want to shout out Jamal Lee for sending us a super chat.
Yeah, that super chat. Yeah, thank you. I was going to get to that after, but yes. So Misadventures and Jamal Lee for the super chats. Thank you. Thank you for putting that dollar up in the bucket. But we thank everybody for coming through. We're going to go to a break, but we'll be right back with some other cool stuff. Who we got after the break, Jason?
Who we got after the break?
Yeah,
so many people after the break. That's a lot of people.
We got Bitterroot. We got John Jones, Blur Girl, a whole bunch of people.
Right. We got 1,000 people after the break, man.
He has no idea. He has no idea who's after the break.
So with that said, guys, thanks for tuning in. Stay chill at the break. Check out people's stuff. Go in and hit them up online and pick something up. Let that dollar circulate. We'll see y'all in just a second. Peace.
It's a rent party, y'all.
Yeah.